Hello and welcome to Pharmalex Talks podcast. Today I'm speaking with Davor Josipovic about streamlining repetitive statistical work, particularly when it is done in a JXP environment. Davor is Senior Manager Statistics and Data Science at Pharmalex, where he focuses on developing innovative solutions for questions the pharmaceutical industry faces. He does this using applied mathematics, probabilistic modeling, or machine learning. Welcome, Davor, and thank you for taking the time to share your experience with statistical analysis in a GXP environment and the potential for automating this into statistical solutions to improve efficiency and maintain the highest quality standards.
Thank you for the introduction, Kim.
To start with, can you talk about where the need in industry lies and why fully-fledged statistical applications can be a game-changer when carrying out analysis?
Yes, well, I'm sure that most listeners are aware that a lot of statistical work within pharmaceutical companies is repetitive. Often the same analysis is needed time and time again, costing money and resources, especially if it is done within GXP environments, which often require double programming, extensive data quality control, and meticulous follow-up of procedures. Now, most bigger pharmaceutical companies have dedicated statisticians to conduct these kinds of analysis. And the topic I want to share today is extending on their work. It is about uplifting and standardizing this kind of analysis into fully-fledged applications. The effect is that these applications should allow people from various departments to execute an analysis as easily as clicking on a single button, to the effect of improving overall business efficiency. Let me give you a concrete example. Our teams have developed off-the-shelf tools to support specific industry needs. One tool, for example, generates analytical method validation reports, and another one, shelf life estimation reports. That is, the reports that prove that your analytical method is fit for its purpose or that the shelf life label on your product is correct. Now, writing these reports on your own, which is the job of scientists and statisticians, takes days, even for the most experienced ones. But examples show that it is possible to do the same work in a few minutes without the scientists having to think about the correct statistical methodology, ICH or USP guidelines, or even the correctness of the results. The software does all that for you, and it is usable by everyone, especially the non-statisticians. Now, complications arise when companies also want to use these quickly generated reports within a GXP context. For example, when a company wants to take that automatically generated report and send it to the authorities as part of, let's say, a marketing authorization, then the software that generated the report is operating within a GXP context and needs to be qualified and validated based on very specific user requirements.
Just how difficult is it to validate such software in a GXP context?
Well, it is very difficult. It is complicated because strict GXP procedures are usually associated with heavy paper-based processes. In software, this mostly translates to an approach that requires spelling out most of the requirements upfront in a multitude of documents. This process is often called a waterfall approach. On the other side of the spectrum, we have the agile approach, and agile is often associated with fast-paced processes where your main goal is to deliver fast and continuously. And agile is de facto standard these days, as most industries have transitioned from waterfall to agile. Now, the one industry that didn't make the transition yet is, well, the pharmaceutical industry. And there are good reasons for that too. People's lives may depend on the conclusions that come out of these applications. For example, if your drug's shelf life is estimated too long and the drug substance has become inactive, you may be underdosing unaware patients, that is, patients that are possibly in critical conditions and need active drugs immediately. So the application that calculated the drug shelf life better be correct. If not, then people may die. Now, our key question is how to take the best of two worlds, GXP on one hand and Agile on the other. And to do that, we need to marry GXP and Agile somehow. And that in turn requires a thorough rethinking of the common software development and validation process. You see, at the end, we want to uphold the same software quality, successfully passing our audits, but at the same time being more efficient when developing these solutions. Or in other words, we want to focus 80% of our time on software and statistical theory and only 20% on administration, and not the other way around.
With these contingencies in mind, how do you actually go about marrying GXP with Agile?
Well, our approach is a layered approach. First, you need a qualified infrastructure on which the software will be running. Today, as most companies, we are transitioning to the cloud infrastructure. Now, the cloud gives a few advantages, mainly because the hardware is virtual. One of the biggest advantages, I think, is that virtualized hardware allows the new infrastructure deployments to be fully scripted. We call that automatic IQs or automated installation qualifications. In other words, cloud makes the infrastructure code-based or script-based, allowing paperwork to be greatly reduced. The second layer is the software development methodology. And that is probably the most difficult part, but also the most important one, as you need a process that is agile enough to allow experimentation, but at the same time, ensure a thoroughly risk-assessed, tested, and approved snapshot of the software. Now, agility for me is about allowing people to focus on what they're good at. Statisticians are good at statistics, engineers at engineering, QA at quality, and so on. By splitting the development process from the validation activities, we allow the statisticians and the engineers to focus on what they're good at, without burdening them with administrative paperwork.
You mentioned earlier that it is important to uphold the same software quality. How can you manage this most effectively, if not necessarily by strict procedures?
Well, during agile development, a lot of activities happen informally or just automatically. For example, user requirements are split into tasks and solved during so-called sprints. Statistical formulas are derived and documented. Risks are assessed, and then automatic tests are written to mitigate those same risks. Code is reviewed and approved before being accepted, and so on and so on. All these quality-related activities happen naturally during agile development. And all this naturally occurring information is also gathered by default in modern widely used tools such as Jira, Azure DevOps, and GitHub. Now, the big question is, how do we use all this naturally generated information for QA purposes? And for that, we specifically developed an internal tool which we call Paperboard. What Paperboard does is it compiles all this operational information into readable quality documents. For example, the documents that show the user requirements, the associated risks, the tests that have been executed to mitigate the risks, and so on. And these generated documents can then be presented during audits to demonstrate in a comprehensible way the qualitative state of the software. So, at least one key takeaway of today is that the validation documentation can be automated based on information from Jira, GitHub, or DevOps. And thus, that the quality documentation can be literally finalized in minutes. And equally important is that every statement in those documents can be verified if needed.
With tools taking on much of the burden, what role is left for QA?
Well, QA remains key. The role of QA is to explain what needs to be in those generated validation documents so that they are acceptable from a regulatory and risk-based perspective. By doing that, QA is indirectly influencing the development process without actually owning it. What QA owns is the validation process, but they only influence the development process, which again allows statisticians and engineers to focus on their core competencies. And in addition, since the QA owns the validation process, they also review and approve the final quality documentation, as well as the final deployment of the solution at the end.
So if we go back to an earlier question, is this really about marrying modern agile software development with GXP?
Yes, that is correct. In summary, one could say that strict quality procedures that are necessary within a GXP context often result in impeding innovation by being too restrictive. What we show, at least from a software development perspective, is that it doesn't have to be that way. We can be agile without reducing quality. And I would even go further and say that quality is even improved quality improves because statisticians can focus for more than 80% of their time on what they are really good at. And letting them focus ensures that the statistical methodology and the results are of an exceptionally good quality.
We started off by talking about custom statistic solutions as a way of fostering innovation and efficiency. With agile software development in a GXP environment in mind, how would you advise companies to do the same?
Well, I would advise them to use the same layered approach as mentioned before. The first layer may involve only the statistics team providing, for example, Bayesian or CMC statistics or omics expertise. Most large pharmaceutical companies already have such established teams. And certainly in our case, this is what our statistics team is known for. The second layer is how to translate the statistics into applications, possibly for use within GXPs. Some companies just don't know how to develop applications and may look outside for expertise to make GXP-ready applications in a modern and efficient way. And then the third and equally important layer is infrastructure. Some companies may not have a ready-made qualified infrastructure to host these applications. This is also where expert service providers can help by just replicating their own cloud infrastructure. Remember, as I stated earlier, cloud infrastructure is virtual. It is code-based and scripted, and exactly that fact allows it to be replicated in mere minutes. And then finally, all this must be backed by SOPs. Expert service providers should already have such a quality system in place, which means that SOPs come pre-packaged with the solution and are ready to be used. And as such, ready-made SOPs are extremely valuable on their own because they save organizations a lot of time, because the organizations don't need to figure out and write SOPs from scratch.
I'm assuming that making the solution layered also gives companies more insight into what they need. Is that correct?
Indeed, it gives companies better insights in their needs. And it also simplifies things from a vendor perspective. The vendor needs to determine the client's requirements. For example, do they just need Bayesian, CMC, omics, or other expertise? Do they also need statistical analysis? And if the analysis is promising, do they want to turn that analysis into a fully fledged application? And eventually, if they decide that indeed they need an application, then the next crucial consideration for pharmaceutical companies is, does that application need to operate within a GXP context? And if so, do they have a qualified infrastructure for hosting? And are the SOPs in place for the whole infrastructure, as well as for the software lifecycle? So, going from a business problem statement all the way up to a GXP-ready and running application may seem very daunting at first, involving parties from across statistics, engineering, IT, QA, and so on. However, I believe it doesn't have to be difficult at all, with the right combination of expertise, technology, and industry know-how.
Thank you for joining me today, Davor, and for sharing these important insights on statistical applications in a GXP environment. Thank you also to our listeners. I hope you take some valuable information from this episode and apply it in one way or another to your business. Please make sure you subscribe so that you can join us for future podcasts.